It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Friday, January 21st, 2022. Well, in our ship schedule today, we have 3 inbounders, we have 7 outbounders, and 10 ships in our Astoria anchorages. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds, 5 to 10 knots, rising to 10 to 15 knots in the afternoon, wind waves from the north at 2 feet high at 4 seconds apart, and west swells 8 feet at 13 seconds. And I hear that we are going into a period of kind of nice weather. Keep your fingers crossed. That would be great to have a nice weekend. And today we're going to be talking about a really amazing story from Tonga about the tsunami with a happy ending, about a man who was swept away by a big tsunami wave and lived to tell the tale. It's quite a story, I'll tell you that. I'll tell you about it in just a few minutes. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have those 3 inbounders. The first one is the Ken May, arriving from Seattle. She's headed for the Kalama Anchorage. She'll be picking up wheat eventually upriver, and she passed Astoria probably around 3:30 this morning and will probably got to Kalama at about 8:30. The Ephraim A is arriving from China. She's headed to the Astoria Anchorage. We'll probably get there at about 9:30 this morning, and she, too, will be going upriver to pick up wheat. And another wheat ship, the Cosmar, is arriving, probably going to pass Astoria, arriving from China around 12:30 p.m. She'll be in the Vancouver Anchorage at about 6:30 p.m. And in our Astoria Anchorages, we have the Vigor SW. She's headed upriver to pick up wheat at about noontime, take her about 6 hours to get up there. And then the Navigare Beatus is a container ship. She's entering the river, probably going to pass Astoria inbound around sometime after midnight. And she'll be in Portland at the Port of Portland around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Well, one more story from Tonga today to close out the week. And this is a good one, a happy ending story that is quite amazing. Parts of Tonga were hit with a 50-foot tsunami after an underwater volcano 12 miles wide erupted there this past weekend, sending shockwaves across the Pacific that caused a tsunami advisory here in Oregon and Washington. I commented on my Ship Report Facebook page that I didn't think a 50-foot tsunami was survivable except by some miracle. Then a listener posted this story, which seems quite miraculous to me, and this man is one heck of a swimmer. This story is from Reuters and partly from CBS News. A 57-year-old Tongan man who said he swam around 27 hours after getting swept out to sea during Saturday's devastating tsunami has been hailed as a real-life Aquaman. The eruption of the volcano on Saturday killed at least 3 people, sent tsunami waves rolling across the archipelago, damaging villages, resorts, and many buildings, and knocked out communications for the nation of about 105,000 people. Lisala Folau, and apologies if I'm mispronouncing this, I couldn't find anywhere online that would give me a pronunciation for the name, who lived on the small, isolated island of Atada, which has a population of about 60 people, was swept out to sea when the waves hit land at about 7 p.m. on Saturday. He said all this in a radio interview to Tongan media agency Broadcom Broadcasting. Folau said he was painting his home when he was alerted about the tsunami by his brother, and soon the waves had gone through his house. He climbed on a tree to escape, but when he got down, another big wave swept him away, he said. The 57-year-old man said he is disabled and can't walk properly, but evidently he certainly can swim. Here is his account from a story on CBS News. Waves started slamming into the tiny Tongan island of Atada, where Folau is among the roughly 60 inhabitants, at about 7 p.m. on Saturday. He first climbed trees to escape the tsunami with family members, but they came down when they thought it was safe. They were wrong. Folau said, "My elder brother yelled out to us. There was a big wave coming in. I just turned and looked at the wave. It was a bigger wave than the 6-meter wave that destroyed our house. When the wave broke on land just below us, my niece and I had nothing to hold on to, and we were swept out to sea." For hours, Folau floated, eventually washing up on another of Tonga's small islands. At about 10 a.m. on Sunday, he said he decided to swim for the island of Poloa, closer to the main island. "I finally got there at 6 p.m. I called and yelled for help, but there was no one there, so Folau once again took to the sea. Finally, at about 10 p.m. on Sunday, some 27 hours after he was first swept out to sea, Palau said he made it to the main island of Tongatapu and flagged down a car for help. Officials have said that Palau's home island of Atata, about 5 miles northwest of the main island, was virtually flattened by the tsunami. Tongan military boats were still scouring the country's smaller, far-flung islands on Thursday, evacuating survivors. It was not immediately clear whether Palau's niece or other family members survived the disaster, and CBS News could not independently verify the story that he recounted to Broadcom FM. The Reuters news agency said his story had gone viral among Tongans online. Palau told the radio station, "It was so unexpected that I survived after being washed away, floating and surviving the dangers I faced." He offered his sincere thanks to the people from his island, as well as the country as a whole. "I know you prayed for me during the hardships I came through," he said. So quite a story about survival that is seems pretty miraculous to me. Some things that were in his favor: he was obviously an incredible swimmer who really knew the area. When he went to one island and it was there were no people there, so he swam to another one, but incredible endurance and incredible ability to swim. And also the water there is warm. The average water temperature in Tonga right now is about 80 degrees. So it was very warm water. So that was a very good thing that contributed to his survival. So this sort of long sustained survival swim that he did is probably not something that someone could do here in Pacific Northwest waters, because the water here is just too cold. But he, in his whatever he was wearing at the time, was able to retain enough of his body heat in the warm water to swim for all those hours. Another important point here that I think is really worth mentioning is that tsunami waves come in a series, as we've heard here. In our tsunami advisory, there was a warning that there would be more than one wave coming in, and so people needed to be careful on the beach. Well, in this case, they were massive waves, and it was a perfect example of how the first wave is usually not the biggest, because what happened to this man was that he climbed down from a tree that he'd been seeking refuge in. Another wave came in, another tsunami wave came in, and it was indeed much larger than the one that he had originally taken refuge from in the tree. So kind of a reminder that tsunamis come in sets of waves and that it may go on for a long time, maybe an entire day after a tsunami initially hits a shoreline before those final waves stop. And so it really depends on the individual incident that is sending shockwaves into the ocean. If you have a long ongoing earthquake with lots of aftershocks, you could have tsunami waves going on for quite some time. So I thought this was a really good real life example of that phenomenon of tsunami waves, that there is generally more than one of them when there is a big event like this. Well, I thought this was just a pretty incredible story and a nice story to take with us on the weekend to kind of round out the week, something good to think about. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening and have a great day.